Good evening. This is the WRKC News at 5. I'm Kayla Kraczynski. Thank you for joining us. Tonight, our top story is about Stephanie Jallon, a Paralympian and King's community member. We'll also hear about daylight savings time. Later, we'll have a politics this week and Monarch sports update. Beginning in 1948, the Paralympic Games showcased the talents of athletes with a range of physical disabilities. Station manager Katie Pugh interviewed Paralympian Stephanie Jallon, who has scored 2 bronze medals in the Games.
King's student Stephanie Jallon works hard at being a professional athlete, one of the best in the world at her sport in the discipline of alpine skiing. She also was born with Child Syndrome, congenital hemidysplasia with ichthyosis and limb defects syndrome. Jallon's left arm is underdeveloped and her left leg had to be amputated. Nevertheless, Jallon has won 2 bronze Paralympic medals for Team USA in the 2014 Sochi Winter Games in the Super G race and the Super Combined race, being the second youngest athlete on the team. Last night at the Mary Stegmeier Mansion in Wilkes-Barre, attorney Al Flora hosted a fundraising event to help pay for Stephanie's trip to the 2018 Paralympic Games in Korea, which Jallon is on track to compete in, being ranked in the top 6 skiers worldwide in 5 events. Jallon describes her start in skiing.
I compete in 5 events of alpine skiing. When I was 9 years old, I was invited to a learn to ski camp, and from there I learned to ski shortly after I learned to race, and then it's just been one thing after another, and now I'm here.
The transition from learning how to ski to becoming a professional skier was challenging for Jallon, she explains.
A lot of hard work and dedication, more than I had ever expected. When I was younger, I was not from a very athletic family. We live kind of the small town life, so transitioning from that to professional athlete took many years. A lot of, like I said, hard work, dedication on my time and my family's time as well, and also for my friends and my very limited social life as I travel back and forth. Time consuming for sure, but it's something that I don't regret, and I count my blessings every day for having the chances that I've had to do what I was able to do.
Currently, Jallon sticks to a strict training regimen to stay in shape for the upcoming season.
During the season, like now, I'll train for the fall months, and then as soon as winter hits, usually around December, we start competing again. Day to day, I wake up, I go to the gym somewhere between 8:30 and 10 o'clock to Danko's. However, my schedule seems to work out that day. I work out for 1 to 2 hours. I come home. A few hours later, I do another workout for cardio, so keeps me in shape. And then I was going to school at King's College. I will return right after the games, so next fall in 2018.
Jallon came across a multitude of challenges as she advanced in her career. She explained her greatest struggles.
For sure, a lot of sacrifices. When I was younger and in school, I didn't go to prom. I missed a lot of the school events because I was either training or away. A lot of sacrifices with my family, not being able to be home during some of the holidays for a lot of time. That's definitely an obstacle. And I learned very valuable lessons, how to manage my time, how to manage my life accordingly so that I don't miss out on anything.
Being a Paralympic athlete yields amazing experiences as well. She recounted her favorite aspect of the Sochi Games.
People, definitely the people. The experiences that I was able to gain from it and meeting the extraordinary people that I didn't even know I was neighbors to. Getting to see the world as well is something that is, you can't put a price on it. The value is insurmountable. So my experience, the people, and being able to travel is for sure the most important aspect to me out of all of this.
Finally, Jallon spoke of the experience she had receiving 2 bronze medals in Russia.
Oh, like you can imagine. I still can close my eyes and imagine it. It was something that I have worked for very long, and to me, it was always just a dream, so when it became reality, it's undescribable, but something that for sure I'll never forget.
Stephanie's story and ways to donate to her fund can be found at stephaniejallon.org, spelled S-T-E-P-H-A-N-I-E-J-A-L-L-E-N. And for the WRKC News at 5, I'm station manager Katie Pugh.
On November 5th, the clocks will be set back 1 hour. Fortunately for most, this means an extra hour of sleep. Program director John Flynn reports on the end of daylight savings time on Sunday.
The concept of daylight savings time has been a debatable subject in the United States for years. The idea was first implemented over a century ago when, during World War I, Central Powers Germany and Austria-Hungary put daylight savings time on the map to save coal resources. Many other countries followed suit in the years to come. With an extra hour of sleep looming for most Americans this weekend as the clocks change, the campus is buzzing about the move. The concept was also a subject of debate among professors on campus, as the station went out this morning to find a gauge as to where the professors stand on daylight savings time. K King's history professor, Brian Pavlak, suggests that daylight savings time is a hoax.
It's a false savings that really doesn't do much good except complicate people with clocks. Instead, what we should do is just change opening times to get more hours in the summer in the evening. And we could be more flexible that way than pretending time changes.
However, sociology professor Lou Palmieri would like daylight savings time to continue.
But I'm an early riser, and I'm always up before sunrise anyway. So there is a safety concern for families that have younger children. But if you ask for my opinion, I would rather see the sunset later in the day.
Some people may not be willing to adjust as much as others. Dr. Christopher Altz of the psychology department explains why some people can adapt easier than others to the clocks.
Well, I mean, in some individuals, they might not be that sort of susceptible to these small sort of changes. However, there are some individuals that are, right? So there is a lot of research that suggests that sort of interrupting normal sleep patterns can have an effect on mental life. So that could be an issue for some individuals that have problem with readjusting sort of a sleep schedule, even if it's a small sort of minute change, like changing the clock up or back an hour, may have an effect for some individuals.
How does the end of daylight savings time impact students? The visitation policy for residence halls during the weekends ends at 2 a.m., but at the same time, the clocks change Sunday morning. Residence hall director Sean Ziller explains the policy for the weekend.
So a lot of residents think they'll get an extra hour of visitation in the residence halls, but that is not the case. A visitation still ends as it usually does. That's our policy. That's how it's been for a very long time now. So, you know, like I said, even though it kind of we have to adjust how we do things for this particular weekend every year, we've kind of got a routine down and know how to do it. So, you know, I think we're prepared for that. And so is our staff.
The official clock change happens at 2 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time on Sunday morning, when it becomes 1 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. So WIKC reminds you to change the clocks before it is too late. For the WIKC News at 5, I'm Program Director John Flynn.
Coming up next, we'll hear the most recent political news on politics this week, a Monarch sports update, and a look at the weather for the weekend.
A human voice. It can be sweet as music, powerful as thunder.
And so, my fellow Americans.
But not for millions with COPD. This serious lung disease makes it hard to breathe. And many who have COPD don't know it. That's where your voice comes in. If you or a loved one have symptoms, talk with a healthcare provider. And join us in raising our voices for the millions with COPD who can't. Learn more, breathe better, at NIH.gov.
Hey, this is OTEV.
And Evo J, and you're listening to your friends here at 88.5.
The News at 5 continues on 88.5 WRKC, Wilkes-Barre.
Seemingly flopped on its view of climate change with the release of a new report earlier today. The U.S. Global Change Research Program released its annual Climate Science Special Report, which concluded that it is extremely likely that human activities, especially emissions of greenhouse gases, are the dominant cause of the observed warming since the mid-20th century, and that this period is now the warmest in the history of modern civilization. The report details these claims in 470 pages of material and is authored by scientists from NASA, NOAA, the NCAR, other government agencies, and dozens of prominent universities and special programs. These reports come as a surprise after the president's continued opinion that climate change isn't scientifically supported and EPA Director Scott Pruitt's gutting of the agency. The president has not tweeted about it at this time, instead focusing on new allegations that the Democratic National Committee rigged the election against Bernie Sanders. Former interim DNC chairwoman Donna Brazile claimed that the Democratic National Committee helped Hillary Clinton win the nomination in a Politico magazine article that she published yesterday. She spoke of campaign contributions contributions and the DNC's Victory Fund, which she alleges was misused in Ms. Clinton's favor. On the topic of the president's Twitter, a supposed rogue employee from the social media giant was said to have deleted the president's account for 11 minutes yesterday, causing some confusion and a bit of humor. In other news, Bo Bergdahl was dishonorably discharged from the Army during his sentencing for walking away from a U.S. military outpost in Afghanistan in 2009. Subsequently, a controversial prisoner exchange took place in 2014 to have Bergdahl returned. The judge of the tribunal that sentenced him, Army Colonel Jeffrey R. Nance, though, did not sentence Bergdahl with any prison time. The president had called for the death penalty of Bergdahl earlier in the week, according to the Washington Post. The Post also reports that certain conservative Republicans are calling for special counsel Robert S. Mueller III to recuse himself from the investigation into Russian meddling in the 2016 election for potential involvement in a deal which allowed Russia to purchase uranium from a Canadian mining group. Three representatives, Andy Briggs, Lewis Gohmert, and the author of the resolution, Matt Gaetz, are calling for recusal days after three Trump campaign officials, including former campaign manager Paul Manafort, have been indicted in the investigation. This has been Politics This Week. For the WRKC News at 5, I'm News Director Lauren Gallagher.
This is your Sports Director Dan Stokes with your Monarch Sports Update. The King's College men's soccer team was defeated by DeSales University Wednesday night at McCarthy Stadium 4-3 in penalty kicks. The Monarchs and DeSales were unable to find the back of the net during regulation and two 10-minute overtime periods forcing penalty kicks. The Monarchs missed out on the MAC Freedom Championship game and finished their season with an 11-6-2 record. The King's College women's soccer team may have finished their season with an 8-6-2 record, but they placed three student athletes on the All-Middle Atlantic Conference Freedom team, the conference office announced today. Sophomore forward Danielle Putnam was named to the second team, while senior midfielder Kristen Ryan and junior defender Mallory Fox were honorable mentions. The King's College field hockey team placed four student athletes on the All-Middle Atlantic Conference Freedom team, the conference office announced on Wednesday. Junior Kelsey Gabrielle was a first-team selection. Senior Sarah Zabierski and Samantha Sharon were second-team selections. And senior Brianna DiMaggio was an honorable mention. The King's College women's volleyball team saw its season come to an end as the fourth-seeded Lady Monarchs dropped a 3-1 decision to top-seeded DeSales University in the semifinals of the MAC Freedom Conference tournament Wednesday night in Center Valley. It marked the first time Kings qualified for the Freedom Conference tournament since 2008. Kings College junior Rachel Miller was named to the first team of the 2017 All-Middle Atlantic Conference Freedom women's volleyball team, while senior Caitlin Shiflett was a second-team selection, the conference office announced yesterday. On Friday, 15 players and three coaching staff members experienced history being made when the Kings College women's ice hockey team opened their inaugural season at the Commonwealth Cup tournament hosted by Chatham University of Pittsburgh. Kings will play its first ever game against Newman University at 7 p.m. in the opening round of the event, which will be played at the Alpha Ice Complex in Pittsburgh. The Kings College football team will return to the gridiron on Saturday when the Monarchs make their final road trip of the season with a Middle Atlantic Conference matchup against Widener University at 1 p.m. in Chester, Pennsylvania. This is the 25th meeting between the teams, with Widener owning a 21-3 lead. Kings' last victory was a 35-24 margin in 2009, with the game being played at Chester. The Monarchs enter Saturday's game ranked second in the MAC in scoring with 31 points a game. Kings is first in total offense, averaging 429 yards per game. The Monarchs are third in the MAC in passing yards with 279 per game and fourth in rushing with 147 yards per contest. Now in the world of professional sports. In the NBA, the Philadelphia 76ers have a 4-4 record led by rookies Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid. The 76ers take on the Indiana Pacers in an Eastern Conference matchup. The New York Knicks have a 3-4 record led by Kristaps Porzingis and Tim Hardaway Jr. The Knicks take on the surging hot Phoenix Suns tonight and will be challenged by a revitalized Indiana Pacers team on Sunday. In the NFL, the Philadelphia Eagles have the best record in the NFL with a 7-1 record. Carson Wentz and the newly acquired Jay Ajayi will take on Denver Broncos with their new starting quarterback Brock Osweiler on Sunday at 1 p.m. The New York Jets defeated the Buffalo Bills 34-21 on Thursday Night Football. The Bills were heavily favored in the game. The Jets improved to 4-5 on the season, while the Bills slipped to 5-3. The New York Giants take on the Los Angeles Rams at MetLife Stadium this Sunday at 1 p.m. The Giants have a 1-6 record on this season. The Pittsburgh Steelers have a 6-2 record on the season and are set to take on the Colts in Indianapolis this Sunday at 1 p.m. This has been your Monarch Sports Update for the WRKC News at 5. I'm Sports Director Dan Stokes.
And now for the weather. Tonight will be cloudy with a low of 37. Tomorrow will be partly cloudy with a high of 59. And Sunday, expect scattered showers with a high of 62. A comedian, Warren Hall, will make an appearance at Connerton's this Saturday at 8 p.m. The annual candle lighting for deceased loved ones will be held on Sunday at 7 p.m. During the Mass, deceased loved ones will be acknowledged with a candle being lit in their memory. This has been the WRKC News at 5. I'm Kayla Kraczynski. Have a fantastic Friday.
This has been the News at 5 on WRKC, Radio King's College, Wilkes-Barre.